I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnneHall.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. We are a teach show and not a talk show. Losers point fingers, winners find solutions, and we are about finding constitutional solutions today to real, live issues. That's what we do. We take the things that you see in the news and the things that you hear about in the media, and we turn them into constitutional educational sessions, things that we can understand, things that we can do, things that we can actually lay our hands on to turn America back to the Constitutional Republic. Because, you know, we really don't want to be this kingdom that we have, well, I guess, become. The interesting thing is that everybody wants to point at Barack Obama being king. And in reality, Barack Obama is not the king. In reality, it's an oligarchy of the courts, but we are completely distracted by those other things. We knowingly, lovingly worship the courts, but we don't actually understand why or how. Somebody asked me, why didn't you have some big deal about Constitution Day? I mean, I thought that this would be your day, Chris Ann, and it would be big and fanfare, and why didn't you make a big deal out of Constitution Day? Well, to be honest, because every day is Constitution Day for me. I was contacted by a professor in California who wanted me to help him make a video. He's a college professor, and because his class takes Title IV funding, he was required to teach on the Constitution, on Constitution Day. And he said, Christiane, can you please make me a 20-minute video that I can play for my students on Constitution Day that outlines the principles of the Constitution? He said the one that they gave me to play was really, really lame. And my first thought is, and this is what I told him, I said, look, I don't know if I can make you a video that's 20 minutes long that outlines the principles of the Constitution. Perhaps that's why the video that you got is lame, because it's just not possible to do that. And I told him, I said, I'd be happy to make you a video, but it's going to have to be longer than 20 minutes. And I think that is the real issue here, right? We've quarantined the Constitution into one day a year for 20 minutes. And we wonder why we're in the fix that we're in. I mean, this is by design. You have to know this is absolutely by design. Government is teaching our children. Government is teaching our adults now Title IV funding for our colleges. Government is teaching everyone. And where in government would we possibly find a government willing to teach that it is limited by the consent of the people? I mean, seriously, that's what the Constitution tells us, that the federal government, not only is the government limited by the consent of the people, but that the government is limited completely. That the government, the federal government, is the least powerful government in the United States. That's what the Constitution would teach us if we actually taught it. And now that we have the federal government teaching our students and our children, then please tell me, where would you find a federal government willing to teach its citizens that it is the least powerful government in its country, and that it can be overpowered by the states and the people? No, because the government then has to quarantine the Constitution to 20 minutes a year, and then you're okay with that. And then meanwhile, they can have the courts telling you what they think the Constitution is supposed to mean, which also empowers the government. We have Congress doing absolutely nothing about their real job. And we have the president acting like a king. And so I wonder then why we're shocked and amazed that we don't have a constitutionally minded government. I mean, you heard me talk yesterday about how a real constitutional presidential candidate should sound. And I just want to know, are you hearing that? I know some people on Facebook tried to say, well, this candidate did and this candidate that. And one person actually said to me, well, these two candidates sounded exactly like that. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And so, if we really, really, really want to do this right, we've got to be more diligent about teaching this stuff. Not just 20 minutes a year. Can I just say that out loud again? 20 minutes a year on one day. Now that we say that out loud, does anybody else think that that's ridiculous? How can you possibly know the law? The supreme law. If you look at it for 20 minutes once a year. Here's the crazy thing. The Constitution is not complicated. It absolutely is not. I wonder all the time. Because, you know, I've been teaching this for 5 years. And I wonder to myself, not in arrogance, okay? This is not an arrogant statement. I want you to really understand this. I'm saying this in the most humblest way that I possibly can. Is that a word, humblest? You know I'm a lawyer. I can make up words. I'm saying this with the most humility possible. I don't understand why people think the Constitution is so complicated. It really isn't complicated. Do you know our framers made a government that was not complicated? Why? So it would be easy to control. The federal government is extremely easy to control. We just don't know it. Because it's been hidden from us for so long. And then I started thinking, why do the American people think that government is so complicated? I mean, we do. We've checked out. We don't bother reading the Constitution. We don't bother knowing what it says. Most people don't even know the Ninth Amendment, which is the most important amendment in the entire Constitution and Bill of Rights. So why do we think it's so complicated and we don't even want to take the time and we think, oh, Constitution, eyes glaze over. I can't go listen to that constitutional attorney speak because, you know, that stuff's way out of my league. And then it occurred to me, because I know the Constitution is not complicated. It's probably one of the shortest constitutions in the entire globe. And I realized it's because politicians and government have made it complicated. They've injected all of these procedures and policies and House rules and Senate rules and all of these things just to simply confuse the American people and to make government seem more complicated than it is. Why would they do that? Why would they want government to seem more complicated than it really, really is. I don't think you can find a house rule that's based on constitutional principles. And I'll go further and say, I don't even think you can find a house rule that's based on constitutional authority. They're all invented by government to make it look more difficult and sound more complicated so that we, the average American, is then too stupid to understand. Because do you know how many times I've had congressmen look me in the face and say, you know, that constitutional issue is really important, Chrisanne. You just don't understand how it really works. I mean, that statement is telling in itself. You just don't understand how it really works. What's that saying is, you don't worry about this, Chrisanne. You're not on the inside. You can't possibly know how government really works because you're not in it. Do you see that? It's a shell game. It's all mirrors and smoke and to make things look more complicated than they really are. All of these house rules and injected procedures. Why would they want to do that? For the very reason that those congressmen are saying to me, you don't know how it really works. Because they don't want you to know how simple it's supposed to be. They want you to look complicated so that you back off and you say, you're right, I don't understand. I'll let you just have it. I don't know how to drive this car. You just take the wheel and I'll sit in the passenger seat and trust you as we drive over this cliff. Because they make it so complicated so that you won't question them and you won't control them. That's the whole purpose. Can I say this again before this section ends? Government is not complicated when we follow the Constitution because we're supposed to be able to stop them very easily. But we've been duped. We've been miseducated. We've been deceived. We've been lied to. And we're being controlled. We're being controlled by the government that we have a responsibility to control.
Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Can I step outside of what may seem my constitutional forte for just a second? Although I think if you actually look at it closely, it's not really outside the constitutional forte because this is a federal government thing and a power that's being exercised by the federal government that they don't have the constitutional authority to exercise. So this came up at the presidential debate, and it's something that's near and dear to my heart, and I want to make sure that at least this show is speaking the truth. Now, you all know that I am an attorney, but I don't know how many of you know that my undergraduate background is biochemistry. So my undergraduate background is on biochemistry. I understand a lot of this stuff. And as a parent, I have become educated on some things. Now, the question came up about Donald Trump's opposition to vaccinations and his statement that vaccinations are linked to autism. And the interesting thing is, that the medical society claims that study after study after study has been conducted to show that there is no link between autism and vaccinations. I don't know about those studies, okay? Let's just be clear about that. Number one, I don't know about them. Number two, I don't trust them. And I'll tell you why I don't trust those studies. How many of you are aware that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, under their Health Resource and Services Administration, has a National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program that on October 1, 1988, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 created the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Just let that sink in for a minute. The federal government is compensating families for injuries that have resulted in their children due to vaccinations. There is a whole table of compensated injuries that have been linked to vaccinations. I want you to think about this now. We are paying parents with taxpayer dollars for injuries that have happened to their children because of vaccinations. Why aren't we publishing that? You have a commercial about some medication, and the last 15 seconds of that commercial, and even more, is nothing but side effects. Why aren't we being taught these side effects about vaccinations to children? You should go to the HRSA website and see this vaccine injury table. All of these vaccinations that are given to our children and the injuries that are associated with them. Some of them complete 6 months out, immunodeficiency caused by vaccinations, the polio vaccination, anaphylaxis, anaphylactic shock, acute complication, death of an illness, disability, injury, I think that's supposed to be death or illness, disability, injury, condition referred to above which illness, disability, injury, or condition arose within the prescribed period of time. Do you know what the prescribed period of time is? Not applicable. Do you know what else is interesting? When you look at this injury table, okay, they absolutely describe every single symptom of autism without actually calling it autism. Wake up, America. You can have 37 different side effects that you're aware of from the little blue pill, but the government is requiring us to inject these things into our children's bodies and then wanting to hide the fact that they're paying out compensation for the damages that these things do. I don't have time to get into the whole ingredients and why all this stuff is, but I want you to question this. If these vaccinations do not cause these injuries, then why are we spending taxpayer dollars to compensate people for things that are impossible to happen?
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Why don't we know about these things, America? Because the government is teaching us. You know, I came across something just by chance, and I wanted to look at this for a second. You know, Barack Obama received the Nobel Peace Prize. We were all scratching our heads about Barack Obama receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, according to the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize website, the whole purpose for this Nobel Peace Prize is to, according to Alfred Nobel, he says, quote, "The said interest shall be divided into five equal parts, which shall be apportioned as follows. One part to the person who shall have done the most or best work for fraternity between nations, the abolition or reduction of standing armies, and for the holding and promotion of peace congresses." So that's the Nobel Peace Prize portion. So you have five equal parts, one of them being peace. And the criteria for peace is that someone who has done the best work for fraternity between nations, the abolition or reduction of standing armies, and for the holding and promotion of peace congresses. Now, Barack Obama was given the Nobel Peace Prize. And so I know many of us sort of scratched our heads about that and wondering why that happened. Well, Breitbart has a very interesting article up today. Ex-Nobel official: Barack Obama's Peace Prize didn't have the desired effect. And if what this ex-secretary of the Nobel Committee says is true, then this committee, I'm sure many of you realize this is not any, you know, really big news. This committee is not actually issuing peace prizes, but is attempting to manipulate the global population and has completely degraded the honor of every person who has received this prize. This guy named Geir Lundestad served as secretary to the committee for 25 years until he retired last year. He has written a book, which is going to be released yesterday, actually, I guess, in which he says, "Awarding Obama the Peace Prize was intended to strengthen his hand, but that it did not have the desired effect." In his book, he writes, quote, "Even many of Obama's supporters believed that the prize was a mistake. In that sense, the committee didn't achieve what it had hoped for." End quote. I want that to sink in a little bit. Because you see, by Alfred Nobel, the Peace Prize is awarded to someone who has already done something. Someone who has done the most or the best work for fraternity between nations. Someone who has already abolished or reduced standing armies. Someone who has already held and promoted peace congresses. And the Nobel Peace Prize secretary is telling us that the reason Obama got it is because the committee wanted to strengthen his hand. Wow. I don't think we need to connect any dots with that. I think that statement is very telling and stands on its own. I mean, we knew he didn't deserve it. But the desired effect? I think I want to read this book. Very interesting. I've always been interested in this Nobel Prize thing anyway. Why and how and for what reasons? Well, now we know what reasons. Breitbart says the book is heavily critical of Nobel Committee Chairman Thorbjørn Jagland. I don't know how to say that in Swedish. With regard to the 2009 Peace Prize, Lundstedt claims Jagland was, that Jagland was enthusiastic about giving Obama the prize, but adds that the chairman had surprising gaps in his knowledge about Obama. Well, I think that this Obama global phenomenon will not be really understood for many years to come. Many people in America were deceived and duped by this man. Many people in America are still deceived and duped by this man. And again, I think it falls back on education. Because we have failed to teach what a real president is supposed to be. What is the job description of the president? What is the job description of Congress? You know, the 9th and 10th Amendments are the most important amendments in the entire Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It is the 9th Amendment that declares that every right in the universe belongs to the people. Whether they're written down or not, they belong to us. And whether they're written down or not, the government can't deny them and they cannot redefine them. They cannot take them. They cannot dilute them. The 10th Amendment, the next important amendment in the entire Bill of Rights and Constitution, declares that only government has power. The power was delegated to the government, not surrendered. Delegated to the government, and in a limited and defined form. And being limited and defined in its form, the remainder of the power delegated to government reserved to the states. What power was delegated to the government? Well, you have to go read the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence to understand that. The last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence is nearly verbatim to the first paragraph of the Lee Resolution. What is the Lee Resolution? Well, the Lee Resolution is the congressional act that created the states. The Lee Resolution is the congressional act that converted states into converted colonies into states. Prior to the ratification of the Lee Resolution on July 2, 1776, there were 13 colonies on this soil. And when the Continental Congress debated, voted, and ratified into law the Lee Resolution, we were no longer 13 colonies, we were 13 states. 13 states. And when you read the last paragraph of the Lee Resolution, you understand that the word state is defined as country. We created 13 independent, free, sovereign countries. And to those independent countries, each and every one of them in their individuality, we delegated through the authority of the people, we delegated to these independent countries the power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other things which any other independent sovereign country on the planet can do. We didn't create 13 new colonies subject to a federal kingdom. There was no federal government at the time of the Lee Resolution. There was no federal government at the time we ratified the Constitution of the United States. The only time we had a federal government was through the Articles of Confederation, and we dissolved that, which dissolved the federal government. And so the only federal government that we had resulted from the ratification of the Constitution. So before the Constitution was ratified, the only sovereign countries that existed were the states, and they held all the power through the Constitution. Our 13 countries delegated power in a limited and defined form to the federal government. And in that delegation of power, they reserved the remainder of the power to themselves. Very little power was ever delegated to the federal government. James Madison tells us in Federalist Paper 45 exactly what that was. He said it is reserved to foreign affairs. and then names them War, Peace, Negotiation, Foreign Commerce. The powers delegated to the federal government are reserved to foreign affairs. And then Madison says every other power. The lives, prosperity, property, internal order and improvement of the states are reserved to the states. We have no idea the limited nature of government because we teach the Constitution 20 minutes every year. What if we taught math and science 20 minutes every year? What if we taught reading 20 minutes every year? But we teach government 20 minutes every year. The rest of the time, our government classes are teaching a federal supremacy, teaching a constitutional kingdom rather than a constitutional republic. And you wonder why we have a president who is issuing an executive order to use behavioral science insights to manipulate the American people. No, I'm serious. This is the brand new executive order. Using behavioral science to manipulate the American people. My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my tent till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Should we be excited about this new executive order? Signed September 15th, 2015, titled Executive Order Using Behavioral Science Insights to Better Serve the American People. Okay, not a federal power, but now we're going to create a brand new federal bureaucracy, a brand new agency to use behavioral science insights to better serve the American people. Listen to this executive order. A growing body of evidence demonstrates the behavioral science insights, research findings from fields such as behavioral economics, psychology, about how people make decisions and act on them, can be used to design government policies to better serve the American people. Where federal policies have been designed to reflect behavioral science insights, they have substantially improved outcomes for the individuals, families, communities, businesses those policies serve. For example, automatic enrollment, blah, 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 blah. To more fully realize the benefits of behavioral insights and deliver better results at a lower cost for the American people, the federal government should design its policies and programs to reflect our best understandings of how people engage with, participate in, use, and respond to those policies programs. By improving the effectiveness and efficiency of government, behavioral science insights can support a range of national priorities, including helping workers find better jobs, enabling Americans to lead longer, healthier lives, improving access to educational opportunities and support for success in schools, and accelerating the transition to accelerating the transition to a low-carbon economy. Did you catch that? We are now going to use behavioral science to manipulate the people to help them find better jobs, lead longer, healthier lives, improve access to educational opportunities, support for schools, and accelerating transition to low-carbon economy. Now, therefore, by the authority vested in me as President by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, I hereby direct the following. What a big fat lie. There is no authority vested in him to create a behavioral science laboratory, to create propaganda to manipulate the people. But here we go. Executive departments and agencies are encouraged to identify policies, blah, 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 blah. They are to recruit, here we go, develop strategies for applying behavioral science insights into programs, where possible, rigorously test and evaluate the impact of these insights, recruit behavioral science experts to join the federal government as necessary to achieve the goals of this directive. This is so Stasi, people. We are now recruiting behavioral science experts to join the federal government to do nationwide laboratory studies on Americans to strengthen the relationship between the people and the government, to create a Pavlovian experiment on the people so that when the government rings the bell, we have no choice but to salivate. That is behavioral science, America. And we are now going to use federal funding to do that. Please tell me, where is congressional outrage about this? And why are we using money now? Federal money, your money, to create a laboratory to manipulate the people. Good question, right? God bless. See you tomorrow. We can't